News Talks Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air, with UEFA Champions and Europa Leagues action. Brought to you by Air Sport.
You are welcome back. Jamie Heaslip is in studio. He's an ambassador for Land Rover, who are a principal partner of the British and Irish Lions. You're very welcome to studio.
Thanks for having me.
We were just discussing how terrible press conferences are during the outbreak. You don't like them. We don't like them. Nobody likes them. They're designed to fail, effectively.
I like this. I like one-on-one. Chat. I prefer one-on-one.
Yeah. So, can we start with your injury and where you are? Because I've gone back to press conference discussions. Trying to find out when any of you guys are back is difficult, and I appreciate why you don't want to let opposition know that so-and-so is not going to be back for a certain game. You had an operation on your back, is that right? Or where are you, or what's going on?
In about that area, yeah.
Okay. Oh, right, okay. It's like that, is it?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, you not really want to talk about it?
I don't particularly like talking about my medical history on a national broadcasting station.
Fair enough point, I suppose.
I'm taking it week by week. Okay. Obviously not the ideal time to get my first serious injury of my career. but that's where the cards kind of have fallen for me. And I'm literally, the way this is, you got to take it week by week.
Sure.
Pretty slow. I'm quickly learning that people who are injured actually train more than people who are not, which was an eye-opener for me. But no, yeah, going well. You know, and you know, the flip side of not being available right now is I get longer holidays, which is a little bit ironic.
And did this happen against Wales, or was this what happened in the warm-up for the England game? Or can you pinpoint when it happened, the issue?
Can't really. We actually don't know.
Okay.
Is the best answer I can give you without telling you what I actually did.
Right.
But, you know, I really didn't know, but, you know, I got a bit of a, when we realised what it was and we dove into it, I got a scan on this, the Sunday, game was Saturday, it was Saturday game.
Yeah.
So I had a scan on the Sunday and, pretty, scan on Sunday and then had a kind of revision medical on the Thursday and, the surgeon wasn't too pleased. I was in straight away for an op first thing Friday morning.
Right. So maybe more serious than you had expected it to be before the scan?
It just didn't progress as quickly as the way we wanted to, and it got into some pretty serious territory very quickly.
Right.
And
what does he, we're at an impasse here, I'm realizing.
No, it was just, you know, it would have had some really long-term
consequences,
permanent consequences,
career ending
potentially.
Right.
So I had to address that pretty quickly,
straight into surgery,
and there was no beating about the bush. And Marcus Timlin down in the matter private looked after me very well.
Right. An interesting point you just raised. It's never occurred to me before about players and their medical privacy, but then I don't suppose I'd much like everybody talking about my body.
Yeah, we were talking about trying to get stories for guys who are on a 7-week tour for the press guys.
The Lions,
you understand that obviously you guys need content to put out, so it's a fine line.
Mm.
It's a fine line. Some guys are more comfortable than others with what they share and what they don't. Mm. And
so you private in that respect?
I try to be, which is kind of ironic because I'm so active on social media.
Mm.
But
it's fairly peripheral stuff you put out there, though.
Yeah,
it's not core who you are, what you're up to.
No, I think it gives probably an insight into what I like, which is coffee and dogs, pretty much, which is not too upper level type thinking. But it's a fine line. Mm. You guys are stakeholders in the game, so you gotta, you know, keep you involved as well. And you know, it's part and parcel of it, isn't it, at this stage?
And is your prognosis good? And
you're
expected to get
back?
Yeah,
now it is. Yeah, yes. Okay. Because we acted pretty, because we acted fast. I'm on track to make a full recovery. And, you know, the silver lining in it all, which everyone keeps telling me, is that it's my first break in 12 years. And now I'd like to be somewhere else right now, to be honest.
Sure.
But you take the cards that you're dealt. And, you know, I've gotten 5.5 week break as opposed to a 4-week break that you normally get.
When you're in the midst of that week after the England game, and obviously Peter Romani's come on and done brilliantly as you'd expect him to do, I hadn't realised the injury was so serious, but are you thinking, there goes my lines, my lines chance?
I knew about, let me see, so I got that week, I got that up. Following week is kind of when it started to dawn on me that that's it. Like, you know, I think the medics and the physios let me believe for about 10 days that I had a chance of kind of coming back, and then that they let me kind of live in that imaginary world that I wanted to live in, and then it quickly started transpiring that you know, it's literally week by week, and that it, you know, it wasn't a likelihood that I would be available for any kind of point in time. So
right, because even with the loss of Vinopola in the last 24 hours,
people wondered. Delighted for James, disappointed for Billy, because I was just talking outside that you know, Billy's a fantastic player, and I think he would have caused the All Blacks a lot of problems. I would have had him down to start, to be honest.
And would you have been in the mix? I mean, fitness-wise,
if
Warren Gatland called you last night or checked in, would you, like, physically, are you in the mix? Could you play if needed?
No.
Okay.
It wouldn't have been
possible.
Yeah. But, like, again, delighted someone like James is getting rewarded and being brought out there. It's going to be one physical tour, as I'm sure you guys know. Mm. And I wouldn't be surprised if Billy isn't the only guy who comes back. Well, he didn't get over, but
yeah,
I think there'd be a few guys coming back early doors.
You obviously went in 09 and went in 2013. Are they real highlights of your career? Is this a big blow for you not to be going?
You hear some people talking about the Lions and how they think it's kind of lost its way a little bit. Mm. And then you ask any player that plays, or, you know, I was actually sitting across from Gerald Davis there before the semi-final on Friday at a kind of a pre-match lunch thing, and chatting to him about it. And for any player, you know, it's the pinnacle. Mm. You know what I mean? It's really rare. Like, there's only, you have to come from four countries to play for the Lions. You know,
it's your only chance to play in New Zealand with them as well, really.
You know, yeah, I mean, I'll clear. Like, if would I like to be there? Obviously, but you know, I'm not, so I kind of get on with it. I'm quite, in general, I wouldn't kind of let things linger too much.
Okay.
Just move on very quickly. But
so it won't be so kind of painful that you will avoid all Lions talk next month and not watch the test matches.
Well, they're on bloody early, aren't they? No, we probably will. I remember the last time, I'm trying to think where I watched the 07 ones, and I think I watched
05,
sorry.
Yeah.
Where was 07? That was World Cup. 05, I literally finished college in May, and I started with Leinster at the end of June. And so I remember going out to Naas RFC, watching them at whatever, 8 in the morning.
Mm.
Having breakfast, and you know, you pay your 10, whatever, 5 quid, 10 quid at that stage for your breakfast and a pint to watch the game at 8 in the morning, which is a novelty at 21. And you know, I will check in on them. I'm doing a lot of, I'm using my time off, to be honest, because I've never been able to plan a holiday, because usually, you know, you don't book anything for a tour. You get on tour, then you book it. So I'm using my time, so I'll be all over the place. So if I catch a game, I'll definitely watch it. I to be honest, I want to see as many Irish guys play as possible, and there's some good guys over there.
Give me your brutal, honest analysis of Friday night.
I think the better team won on the night.
Mm.
I don't think anyone can really argue with that. You know, the Scarlets were a better team. Leinster made a couple of mistakes and were punished for it. And, you know, the Scarlets have a good, you know, they're a good team. They have a lot of quality players. They have, how many going on the Lions? Is it 2-3 players going on the Lions? As well as the Welsh internationals there. Coached well. They play an expansive brand of rugby. There was a lot of tempo in the game, especially in that kind of first 20-30 minutes. And I think you saw the effect of that coming into the tail end. But they, you know, a lot of respect goes out to them. They played with 14 men for a large portion of the game, And from my experience last summer, I know how difficult that is. Mm. And
Leinster point of view, like the sloppiness, the mistakes, you know, being beaten at the breakdown at times, all of this kind of stuff. You know, these are like the hallmarks of what Leinster do well when they're on song. And
yeah, you know,
you don't prepare during the week to go out and play badly, clearly, and
well,
it just happens.
Yeah, I mean,
any clues as to why?
No,
it happened?
Like, I mean, I'm not actually out at the pitch sessions these days.
Yeah.
I kind of sit in on some of the meetings when I can,
right?
Because the training schedule's clashing and stuff. But you know, from being around the boys, they prepare well. You know, they were ready. It was a lot of young guys out there, and you know, they were excited about that kind of first time in that kind of, sorry, the experience knockout rugby in Claremont.
Yeah.
And so, they it was tough for them.
Mm.
And there was a vital learning curve there for a lot of people. But you know, you look back now and kind of with that, you know, you're gutted for the guys, to be honest, and they're all gutted. Mm. Pretty somber change room afterwards.
Yeah.
But you know, on the day, it's the better team. It's usually the team that makes the least amount of mistakes, and Scarlets were that team.
Mm.
And it makes for a pretty exciting final. I think you know, Munster are playing a particular brand of rugby, Scarlets playing a particular brand of rugby, and it's going to make for a good final. But just come back to Leinster.
Yeah.
I think you know, it's been a really good year.
That was my next question, because
it
feels like
beat me to the punch.
No, but it's like your analysis of the year, like one of massive progress, and then in these two semi-finals, not least the Claremont game, like this sense of frustration.
Yeah,
that, yeah, okay, a lot of progress, and still it probably feels like a slightly frustrating year in spite of all the progress because of those two semi-finals.
Yeah, look, you want to win every year. You want to win everything, every competition, every game. You won't want to go the whole year undefeated, but it doesn't happen that easily. You know, there's a lot that has to go your way, a lot of things out of your control, that have to go your way for that to happen. You got to put the work in. It's a long, tough year. It showed a serious level of consistency to end up in the table where we ended up in.
Mm.
Considering, I think we use something like, it's usually 50 odd players. Yeah. I think it's 51 this year.
Right.
And then, I mean,
because you played on the Leinster team that won the Crunch Games. You know, you the culture evolved to a point where from 09 on, did your best stuff quite often in the big games. What's the big difference? What's the difference between a team that can do that and a team, the current one, that are learning that?
I think the current team is more than capable of doing it.
Seems that way, yeah.
I think it's more than capable of doing it, but it's very easy after a loss to say, you know, point the finger at something and say, this was it. And it's just as easy when you win a game to brush over things. So right now, I think what guys have to do personally, I think, you know, they got to wear it. You know, you got to walk the streets. You got to wear as a club, that not just the guys who played, but us as a club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to wear it. You know, as a Leinster man, I kind of, you know, Munster going into the final, you're like, God, I don't want them to have bragging rights, but they've earned the rights.
Mm.
I kind of wish them well as a Irish fan, but that kind of hard for me to say as a Leinster man. But you know, but they've kind of got the rights, and what I mean by wearing it, like, we have to wear that club, have to wear that performance, they have to wear the semi final performance in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and build on that. For the players who are still playing, like, they very quickly are on another page now, you know what I mean? Mm. They're going to review the game very quickly this week, and then they're going to switch. The guys going on tour are going to switch into tour mode.
Sure.
You know, the Lions guys are already
they're
gone.
Already there,
yeah.
So there's no Monday review session for a lot of them.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone recently who, you know, mentioned you'll see Jamie on social media with his coffee and the dogs and everything else. But what maybe he doesn't publicise to the same extent is what a professional he is, like, to the point that you would have paid for software to be in your house so you can analyze games professionally, mm-hmm. and that you will study the opposition and you'll take your job incredibly seriously. And mm-hmm. maybe we don't often see that with all the other stuff going on. Is there any reason why you don't choose to publicize that, or you keep that kind of stuff private?
Like,
anytime I hear you talk about rugby, it's that you don't watch it for pleasure, but you know, you wouldn't.
But I watch it, like,
yeah,
I mean, but I have to watch it.
You bought the software in your house to study the opposition and do a lot of work at all hours. Like, there's a deep obsession there as well.
Well, I think, to be honest, the reason I wouldn't talk about it is because I expect, just like, you know, you're here till 10 o'clock tonight. Doing.
Don't remind me.
Well, the other said they're working till 11, so I don't know. Maybe you're getting off easy. But
you don't pay the postman for delivering the post, is your...
That's my job. Yeah, you know what I mean? My profession is to, you know, play at the weekend, turn up ready to train on a Monday, ready to go again, and try and churn that out, you know, do that week in, week out for 11 months of the season.
I was told specifically by someone you go above and beyond.
Like, my thinking is very simple, to be honest. I remember there was 2 points in my career so far that kind of, if you want to call them inflection points or whatever. I remember I sat down with Mick Carney, but Irupa had this they had this mentor kind of program in place, and at the time, this is years ago, at the time I wanted franchises, I was kind of interested in franchises and stuff like that, and Mick Carney has been successful in that world. And so I sat down with Mick and chatting away, and he's as you know, he's a massive rugby fan, proud Lansdowne man and all this. And chatting away to him, and the conversation kind of dilly-dallied around the place. And he, you know, I was asking for advice on, you know, life after rugby, what to invest in now for life after rugby, and all that kind of chat. And he just kind of, he cut me, he said, start thinking about the future and all that. He goes, you know, just invest in yourself. Invest in, like, you know, he's like, you make a lot of money, as you know, compared to the average wage. You're not going to always make that, so you might as well invest all your time and money that you have now into yourself to prolong that and be the best at that that you can do. And I thought I was being a pretty good pro to that stage. And it was kind of along the same time that Brad Thorne came over then. And it wasn't long after that. I can't remember exact timings. Brad came over, and you know, he was, at the time, he was, Nathan Hines had shown me kind of the way. Nathan Hines never really gets a lot of credit for that. He was really good pro in terms of, like, kind of holistic approach to the sport. But Brad kind of took it to another level. And he was only there for, what, 3-4 months?
Seems to have an unbelievable impact. Were there, like, any small examples? Small examples of things?
He just, small examples, like, I mean, you're in the gym and you obviously have rest time, for example, between your sets. Sure. So it's like 2 minutes rest between your weights, for example.
Yeah.
And he's there doing a load of core in between, or he's stretching, or he was just trying to get, you know, tick every box, make sure everything was kind of addressed.
Right.
And he kind of followed that through into his nutrition, how he looked after himself, how he got his kind of, he was a big, big believer in kind of your work life balance, because I would be like that. I think if you get too involved in the sport and you go all in, that scales dips and you're in trouble. And I think you can get yourself into a lot of hassle. I think you just got to have outside interests and keep that balance just right, but always remember, you know, what it is you do and what's your passion. And for me, that's rugby. So it becomes quite easy for me, and I probably forget a little bit about what I do, because it's so normal to me now.
Are you thinking more about life after rugby than ever now?
I've always been planning for it. Since about, I think, about 26, 27, you know, I was like, oh, I'm on a good run, I might as well start looking. I didn't think I'd have, you know, as long as a career I've had, you know, and...
So you've surpassed your hopes at the end?
I surpassed my hopes getting capped for Ireland.
Right.
You know what I mean? And on another point, like, you always have these little milestones that you start hitting. You know, I'll never forget sitting in, I think we're in the Four Seasons, and I was sitting down and we just played a game or something like that. Dennis Leamy was going up collecting his 50th cap. And I was sitting there kind of going, like, and I remember Brian saying it. I think I was beside Brian, and he was like, yeah, you're an established player, like, when you hit 50 caps. And I was just there going, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
You're knocking on 100 now, aren't you?
Amazing. I've 95 Irish caps, and then I've the Lions ones, obviously, as well.
I wasn't in the room, so I was curious to know.
Okay. That's never a good way to start.
No, no. Show me, so I can relay it to the listener. Show me the extent of the Jamie Heaslip fist punch when Ireland are drawn with Scotland and Japan. Because I'm told you took your T-shirt over your head instead of running around the room.
I was doing laps.
Yeah,
I was doing laps of the place. I think it was that.
Okay, so arm not even lifted, just a little fist clench.
Yeah,
right. And horrified when the story becomes a story, or didn't care.
Didn't really.
Okay.
Pay much heed to it.
Okay.
As my dad said to me a long, 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 long time ago, if you believe all the good stuff, you'll have to believe all the bad stuff they say about you. So you're better off to cut it out.
Yeah.
I look forward today to be a fan and listen to all your opinions and thoughts and stuff like that. But as a player, like, what's the opinion that matters? It's the coaches.
Yeah. So it didn't bother you, all the noise? Yeah.
No, if I got worried about anything that was said about me, I've been in a bad place.
I can imagine. Quick last question then, or two quick fire stuff I wanted to talk to you in more depth about. But I know your ambitions beyond rugby are obviously in business, and you made investments. And you know, Today FM talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Would a career in coaching interest in you?
Coaching, no. The business of sport, yes.
Okay.
Coaching, I just, oh man, like they invest so much, like so much time. Like Leo is in there, so for example. Leo and Stuart are in there before we get to the gym, and we're getting there early. We're getting there, you know, sometimes half seven in the morning. Mm. They're there before us, and they leave after us.
That has to be an obsession.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I personally absolutely love the sport, but I remember trying coaching like with an under 20 side yonks ago, and I couldn't deal.
Okay.
That was only like twice a week, so right. I couldn't deal with it. But the business of rugby and the business of sport, that fascinates me, yeah.
Okay. The discussion around the residency rule in the last number of months has been really unfortunate because it's focused on Stander and Payne, and they've had to talk about, they've almost had to justify their Irishness, which is I think is very unfair in them. Leaving them aside, the principle, were you happy to see it go from 3 years to 5 years?
I've been asked about this. Like, for a player, I mean, the rules are the rules.
Sure.
And that's as far as I kind of put a thought into it, to be honest.
Well, you must have had a thought, though, when it was moved from 3 to 5. Did you think, yeah?
I saw it coming.
Yeah, sure. It was coming for a while.
I mean,
yeah.
I think everyone could read between the lines of what was being put out there and kind of, you know, felt. And you could see, I wasn't surprised by it.
Well, in the modern world, it's too easy now. 3 years is very quick turnaround. You get players up when they're 21.
Well, I mean, 5 years, hold on, 3 years is a big commitment for someone.
It's not nothing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I accept that.
And, you know, 5 years is kind of, to be honest, the guy's going to stay for 3 years, I'm sure he's going to stay for five. You know, and if they commit to that and commit to what, you know, their club values and culture is about, and what the national side's values and culture is about, and we all well know, you guys talk about enough sports that Irish people, I mean, will see through someone who is there for, you know, is not there for the reason that they are quite proud to represent Ireland.
Mm.
And any of those guys, like CJ or Jared, I mean, you know, they're very proud men to wear the Irish jersey, and I've been very lucky and proud to be on the pitch with them as Irishmen.
And last question, the Lions, can they, more to the point, will they do it? I know it's difficult for you to come in and say the Lions won't do it is not a headline you want. Jamie Heaslip, the Lions won't do it is not your headline.
Yeah, but you never know, Chinese whispers, that could be like doing the lap with the piece around my head.
But they're clearly really up against it here.
Well, I think the bookies have them not as favourites.
Sure, yeah.
I think, like you said, they have a huge challenge ahead of them. Do they have the players and to do it? I think they do.
Okay.
I think they have the capability, but the challenge for them, like it is for any Lions tour, is right. You won't get the full group now until Sunday, and you're playing your first game. Is it June 3rd? Is it Saturday?
June
it's Saturday
3rd.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's a
designed to fail.
It's not designed to fail. We lost the last. We won the last Lions tour. Very closely, nearly won the one in South Africa that I was on first. They can do it. But it's going to be tough. And, you know, those first 3-4 weeks of the
two games a week, they're going to be brutal. Like, from what I've heard, the New Zealand players, the internationals, they're going to be playing with their clubs. And from my experience, you know, the Lions only comes to a country once every 12 years. So those guys, like, this is the biggest game they're going to play at club level. And, you know, the New Zealanders are quite a proud, you know, especially on that club level, and as well as a country, but they're really, really proud of what each area represents, and the club. And, you know, they're not bad size. If you're looking at Super Rugby right now, they're playing some fast, free-flowing, dangerous rugby. And it's going to be a challenge. I want the Lions to win. And I want, like I said, I want, if we could have all the Irish guys starting, that would be fantastic. I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, I want to see as many guys in that starting 15 as possible. And, you know, maybe a couple of guys might get out there as well. They might be flown down from Japan.
Yeah. Jamie Heaslip, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me in. Cheers.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Enjoy 7 channels of sport free on the Air Sport Just mobile app.